This morning we will be reading verses 1 through 9, but our primary attention will be on the first four verses. So Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and as you turn there, I'll lead us in a word of prayer. O Father, Lord, I pray that you would cultivate in each one of us a deep, abiding, and strong faith. Provide each one of us in this room with what James calls a living faith that evidences itself in good works. Lord, every one of us in this room, each one of us has room where we can grow. Each one of us has the need to grow in wisdom and to grow in our knowledge of the one that your word reveals to be wisdom. So during this time of our worship where we come to your word, I pray that you would bless it. That you would speak to your people who are gathered here. That you would speak to the lost who are in our midst. And that, Lord, you would draw each and every one of us, including me, closer to you, closer to your Son. And God, would you just conform us to his image? We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's word. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear the words of our God. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. The imagery that we have throughout the Proverbs is beautiful imagery. Many occasions we have a direct charge, a direct encouragement from a father to his son or his sons. You can almost imagine the scene. A father walking along the road by his son, giving him advice as moments, teachable moments, arise. And essentially what this book is just a collection of those teachable moments. Those of you who have been fathers, you can probably imagine times where you're walking with your children. Maybe not walking, maybe you're just in the house, maybe you're in the car, and a teachable moment arises and you strive to impart wisdom to them. And why do you do that? Because you love them. Because you are not a fool. You are aware because you know your children. You know that they need teaching. You know that they need guidance. You know that they need instruction. And if you are a Christian, you ought to be aware that God has put you in a unique position to give them that instruction, to give them that wisdom. In fact, if I were to ask you, those of you who are fathers, what one of your main aims in life were, maybe you would not put it in as so many words or like words, but I believe on that list of important things and important reasons you or goals you have in your life, you want to raise your children in a way that they will be successful, but not only successful, but in a way that they would know the God who you worship, that they would love the God who you love, that they would honor Him all their days. And in what we have in the book of Proverbs is a father and a king who wants his literal sons, but also all of his people who he reigns over, to know and worship and honor the one true God. That's what we find in this book. And through Solomon, even more foundation, even more fundamental, something that we must realize, through Solomon, King Solomon, ultimately, it is our Heavenly Father who speaks to us, to you, who are His children. And there is something that He wants you to get above all. There is something that He wants you to acquire. There is something that He knows that you need to know if you are to have a holy and a happy life. And the question is, what do you need to know? What do you need to acquire? What is the treasure that is more valuable than all earthly possessions that you must have if you are to have life and life abundantly? Indeed, as your pastor, ultimately that's what I want you to get and acquire too. So what is it? Wisdom. The thing that you need for life and life abundantly. The thing that you need if you are to honor God as He has revealed Himself in His Word and in His world, you need wisdom. And as I've said many, many times before, almost every single time we've been in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is not first and foremost a way of life, but wisdom is first and foremost a person. Indeed, wisdom is the Son of God. For Paul writes to the Corinthians that Jesus is the very wisdom and power of God. In Proverbs 8, as it describes wisdom, it describes the one through whom God the Father created the entire universe. And when we go to John chapter 1, we figure out who that is. It is the Word who was with God and was God, and is the Word that at the fullness of time became flesh and dwelt among us. So if you are to acquire anything and to learn anything from me and from church and throughout all of life, learn wisdom. Get wisdom. And indeed, the big idea for this week and next week is procure or get or buy or acquire or use whatever means necessary to get wisdom. Procure wisdom. And I have one reason I'm going to give to you this morning. And we'll look at it from two different angles, but the reason is this. Procure wisdom because of His pedigree. Because of His pedigree. And in our text, we are given two examples or two persons in history who have witnessed and benefited from the pedigree of wisdom. First, we are introduced to the father who speaks to his son. And then secondly, we are introduced to a grandfather who taught the father to teach his sons. And therefore, at the very least, the pedigree of wisdom, it spanned two different generations. But as we look at this text, and as we ponder all of Scripture, we will see that wisdom's pedigree spans way beyond two generations. Indeed, it spans all the way into eternity. So the first point, procure wisdom because of his pedigree, considering the pedigree of the Father. Look at verses 1 and 2. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. So what do we have here? We have exactly as I said, a father speaking to his sons. Now, earlier in the book of Proverbs, when we get a charge like this, son appears in the singular. So perhaps in those occasions, he was talking to Rehoboam, his literal son who would reign after him. But when we move to the plural in this context, it gives a broader audience. And we could say that God through Solomon, in fact, I will say God through Solomon is speaking to us. And what does he say? He says, hear a father's instruction. He's saying that the child of God should perk his ears. He should turn his face and pay attention to the directives, to the insight, to the sayings of his father. And then he says, why? That you may gain insight. The words that Solomon and God through Solomon that he is giving to his children and his subjects, they give insight. What is a person without insight? They are a fool. A person without insight is like a blind man. And a blind man without guidance, without someone giving them insight, without someone helping them. If there is a ditch on either side of the road, they will likely fall in it. In the words of Solomon, in the words of God through Solomon, they are words that give insight. They give guidance. They provide clarity. You can almost imagine that the child being spoken of here, they might have glasses on, but their glasses are fogged up, and the words that are given here are the proverbial rag that wipes the lenses clean so that his son and his children may see. And with that being said, what should the child of God do when God's words, when his insights are being proclaimed? What should the child of God do? They should listen. They should hear. He gives a further reason in verse 2. He says, for I give you good precepts. And he gives another charge. Do not forsake my teaching. So the insight that he gives, the teaching that he gives, it's good. It builds up life. It's healthy. And he tells them not only to hear the first time, but not to forget ever the insights and the teachings that he gives. Now, who was Solomon? Solomon was a king in Israel. But what was unique about Solomon? When David died and Solomon ascended to the throne, God came to Solomon and offered him anything he wished. And what did Solomon ask for? Did he ask for riches? Did he ask for pleasure? Did he ask for safety from his enemies? No. He asked for wisdom, discernment, understanding, so that he might be able to distinguish truth from error, right from wrong. And we read in Kings that God was pleased by this request and that God granted Solomon a supernatural wisdom, a fellowship with himself, so that Solomon had a wisdom that no one in his lifetime ever even came close to. And he was able to distinguish right from wrong. And not only did God give him wisdom, he also gave him all the things that he did not ask for. He gave him riches. He gave him length of days. He gave him rest from his enemies. Solomon, when he followed the wisdom that God had given him, he experienced manifold blessings. And we look at the history of Israel, the highest point of Israel in all of the Old Testament was when who reigned? Solomon. Yes, David was a good king. Yes, David had many victories. Yes, David had a big palace built for himself. But Solomon's kingdom would eventually transcend that of his father. And the only reason why is because he trusted in the same God that his father did. Wisdom has a great and an ancient pedigree. And we see this in the case of the pedigree of the father. And therefore, what should we get? We should get wisdom, or we should procure wisdom. Number two, procure wisdom because of his pedigree, considering the pedigree of the grandfather. Now look at verses 3 and 4. Solomon writing, he says, "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words and keep my commandments and live.'" And then as we read on, and we will explore the remainder of this passage next week, Solomon regurgitates, he quotes, he cites the words that his own father, his father David, the man after God's own heart, he recites those words to his own children, to his people, and God through him recites these words to all of us. And we see a number of things just in these two verses that I read. David loved Solomon. He cared for his son's welfare. He wanted his son to walk in the ways of wisdom. He wanted his son to have a heart like his own heart, a heart that was after God's. And therefore, what did David do? He taught his son. He disciplined his son in the ways of wisdom and righteousness. He taught him along the way. He spread the word of God to all of his children, including Solomon. And now Solomon is doing what? The same exact thing. And what you realize, or ought to realize here, or something you ought to know, Solomon and David both are simply obeying a command that God had given to all fathers. When you go to Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4, but especially in verse 7, there is a charge to all earthly fathers. And what is that? To teach them the word and the ways and the law of God when they walk, when they are in the home, when they are along the way, wherever they go, a father is to impart the very words and wisdom and gospel and law of God to their children. And that's exactly what David did with Solomon. And that is exactly what our Heavenly Father does for us. But the wisdom that both David and Solomon had, it was not merely a wisdom that lasted two generations. Wisdom did not begin with David. Wisdom did not begin with Solomon. Nor did wisdom cease to exist after them. But wisdom The wisdom that saves, the wisdom that you must get, the wisdom that you must acquire, it is eternal. It has no beginning or no end. And in fact, it cannot rightly be described as an it, but instead must be described as a he. As I said earlier, wisdom is a person. And we'll look at this passage in more depth later on. But Proverbs chapter 8 teaches us this very idea, and I'll read a portion from it for you. It says, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroad, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, 'To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels. And all that you may desire cannot compare with her.'" And then later on he says this, "The Lord possessed me," wisdom talking, "at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there." I know that was a mouthful. Give me a moment to breathe. Wisdom is eternal. And wisdom is a person. And wisdom, throughout the book of Proverbs and throughout all of the scriptures, alone is one who gives life. He is the only way unto God, and he is the only way to salvation and life. And what God calls us to through Solomon here is to get wisdom at all cost. To get wisdom is to get life and life eternal. To get wisdom is to get salvation. To get wisdom is to get God himself as your God, and it is to make you one of his people. So wisdom's pedigree. Wisdom has a pretty good pedigree, doesn't it? It's what has guided all the people of God, or rather, he is what has guided all the people of God throughout history. Wisdom is the one who is revealed throughout all the scriptures. Every single page of scripture from Genesis to Revelation points to the one who is wisdom. The law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, the hymns, the writings, all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, all of it, its scope, where it points, where it is directed, is the one who is called wisdom. And that is what both Solomon and David and God through them want us to possess. And I, as your pastor, now if I'm not your pastor, I, as the one speaking to you today, I want you to possess and procure wisdom. Because it is wisdom that will set you free. It is wisdom that will get you all the way to eternal life, and it is wisdom who will uphold you between now and eternity. It is wisdom that you need above all earthly treasure. He is more precious than gold, He is more valuable than silver. He is better than all lands and all wealth. He is what you need above all. And what we see in this passage, and what we see throughout the book of Proverbs, is an earnestness and a boldness that Solomon has towards his children and his kingdom. And that is why time and time again we see a passage like this, where he says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Be attentive that you may gain insight." That's why David says, "When I was a son," or rather, why he says, "Let your words hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live." If you go back to the beginning, you read in verse 8 of chapter 1, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." That Solomon desperately and urgently wants his children and his people to hear the words that he is imparting, because he knows that the words he is sharing, the one who he is testifying about, the one who he is trying to impart, will lead those who hear him and those who heed the call that he is giving. He knows that it will grant them life. You can sense a sort of desperation that he has. He wants his sons and his people to know wisdom. And that's what I want you to know. I want you to know the one who is wisdom. This principle here, it's not only for fathers. Everyone who has authority should desire that those who God in his wisdom and providence has placed under their authority, they should all desire that those under their authority, at the end of the day, if they get anything, that they would come to know the one who is wisdom. Therefore, a pastor should act like a father to his congregation and do what? Impart wisdom. A mother to her children, what should she seek to impart to her children? Wisdom. Grandparents, what should you impart to your children and to your grandchildren? Wisdom. If you employ people, what should you hope that they would come to know? Wisdom. Because wisdom is the most valuable heirloom that you can pass on to your children. Moths cannot destroy it, nor can thieves steal it. It is the treasure that a man sells all of his possessions to acquire and then buries it in a field so no one will find it or steal it. Wisdom is the most valuable treasure and commodity in all of the created universe. Therefore, I encourage you, church, all the way to my dying breath, I encourage you, procure wisdom. And again, who is wisdom? I don't want to trick you. Who is wisdom? It's Jesus Christ. It's true that there are ways to live wisely in the world. There is such a thing as practical wisdom, but practical wisdom will be of no use if you do not know the person of wisdom. And the glorious thing is, if you come to know the person of wisdom, you know what he will make you? Wise. Those who have union with Christ are made wise as he is wise. He gives you of his Spirit. He gives you his word. He dwells with you all through your life, and he leads you into glory. If you want to have practical wisdom, you must know the person of wisdom. You must know Jesus Christ. So, church, let us remember what the priority must be in our teaching. We must proclaim Christ. We are not here only to direct people on how they should live. Yes, we have much to give. Much insight to give on that. We do have things to tell people, to guide people. But at the end of the day, all the guidance we give, if it doesn't ultimately point to Christ, it is useless. In our youth ministry, we don't only want to raise up children who behave well. We want to raise up children who know Jesus, who worship Jesus, who know His grace, who know His peace, who know that even when they fall short of all the demands on their life, that Jesus loves them and that He saves them. And parents, do David and Solomon give us an example here? They do, don't they? You know, we're in this search for a youth pastor. We currently have a youth director, or youth directors, Dan and Shelby. But ultimately, whose job is it? Whose primary responsibility is it to raise children, their children, in the ways and the words of wisdom? Who has the primary responsibility? Parents. Parents. And therefore, I charge you, parents, do not outsource your responsibility to impart wisdom to your children. Sure, you can lean on your church, you can lean on a youth pastor, your pastor, the whole congregation, the Sunday school teachers, you can lean on them for help and supplements. But at the end of the day, it is your responsibility to raise your children. It is your responsibility. And then at the end, when they exit your home, if they have not heard the words of Jesus, if they have not heard the gospel, if they have not been introduced to the ways of God, I'm not saying they will accept them, but if they have not heard them and do not understand them, whose fault is it? Parents, it's your fault. Isn't that a crippling thing to say? Pastor, that's mean. Why can't it be your fault, Pastor? Well, in part, it is my fault because I have responsibility to you. And if I have not clearly communicated enough that you need to share the gospel with your parents, that's on me. But if you're in here this morning, you do not have an excuse anymore because I've told you, I've warned you. It is primarily your responsibility to pass on your faith to your children and to those who come after you. No, you cannot make them believe it, but you can make sure that they know what they should believe. But what if you've failed? Some of you have grown children. Some of you came to faith long after your children were already out of the home. What then? Well, thanks be to God that there is grace for imperfect parents. Because all of us are imperfect parents, aren't we? I don't know, you might be the one exception in this room who is a perfect parent, but I know when speaking of myself, I know I'm not one. I know I'm not a perfect pastor either. But God's grace is sufficient for our weakness. Let's say you do have children in the home and you have no idea where to even begin. You're like, Pastor, you told me I need to instruct my children. What do I say? What do I do? And I want to encourage you. It's not rocket science. And God has not left you without guidance. What do you do with your children to impart the faith that you have received? Let me give you a few suggestions. Pray with your children frequently. Don't only pray for your children, but pray out loud with your children frequently. Daily. Perhaps even more than once a day. Number two, read the Bible with your children. To the best of your ability, explain what the Bible is saying. But you know what? The Word of God is powerful on its own. So if you're not comfortable explaining it, at the very least, read it to them. Show them its value and its power by opening it up and reading it. And you know what that teaches them? Just the very act of reading the Word of God with them on a regular basis. You know what that teaches them? It teaches them that it's important. that they are words that are worth hearing not only one day a week, but all the time. Something else you can do with your children: sing songs with them. You say, "Pastor, my wife is not a musician like yours. We do not sight read music." Well, you know, God in His grace and His providence, He's created these wonderful things called smartphones that have terrible uses, but they can also be very useful. And there's this wonderful thing that can be both bad and good, and here's how it's good. YouTube has all the hymns in our hymnal set to music with the words. So if you need help, flip out that smartphone, and rather than surfing the web and for all kinds of useless things, pull up a hymn and sing it with your children. Again, what does that teach them? What does the very act of doing that on a daily basis do? It teaches them that God is worthy of what? Praise and worship. And they are called to worship Him. And there are numerous other things you can do. You can lead your children to memorize Scripture. You can help them memorize great truths through the utilization of tools like catechisms. And if you're completely lost and you want to begin doing this, come to my house and I'll show you how to do it. It's not perfect. My children run around like hooligans while it's happening. But guess what? At the end of their time in my home, I want them to know that wisdom is more valuable than all other things, and that they desperately need Jesus. And will I do it perfectly? No. But thanks be to God that His grace is sufficient to cover my imperfections. So if you want help, help is there. But fathers, mothers, impart your faith. Impart wisdom to your children. You know, each one of us in this room, each one of us who has believed the gospel, didn't you come to know it because someone else imparted it to you? Maybe it was your father or your mother. Maybe it was a grandfather or a grandmother. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a pastor. Or maybe it was all of those combined. But we don't come to know wisdom by our own strength. It is always given to us by others. And they received it by someone else. And it goes back all the way to the one who is wisdom, who imparts it. So my encouragement to all of us: is the wisdom you have received, don't hide it. Don't hide the gospel in your heart. Communicate it with your hands and with your mouth. By way of example and by way of word or word and deed or however you want to say it, share the wisdom that God has given you in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Share the wisdom that God has given you in the Holy Scriptures. Give it to those who God sets on your path. Share it with your neighbors, especially those little neighbors running around in your house. But share it with your other neighbors too. One thing, or one of many things that we learn from this passage, these words, these encouragements for the sons to listen to both their father and their grandfather. If you can remember a few things from this sermon, just remember how important wisdom is. Remember how important Jesus is. If we value Jesus, if we value wisdom above all other things, you know what will happen? One, we will become like Him. And two, we will tell others about Him. When something is really important to us, what do we do about it? We talk about it. We live in a way that shows honor to it. We live in a way that values it and esteems it. And the same is true with wisdom. Unbeliever, you need wisdom too. All the believers in here, we all need wisdom too, don't we? Apart from the one who is wisdom, we are hopeless. We are alienated from God. We are enemies of God. But with wisdom, we have become God's children. And we now, by God's grace and strength, we walk along the path that leads to life. But unbeliever, you need wisdom. Because it is wisdom who can set you free. Riches will not set you free. Friendships will not set you free. Pleasure will not set you free. Substances will not set you free. Only wisdom will set you free. And it is wisdom that I impart to you today. You need the one who is the prophet who shares all of God's words with you. You need the one who is the great and faithful high priest, who has lived in righteousness, who stands in the place of his people, and who died on the cross to make full satisfaction for the sins of each and every person who comes to him. Even you. You need the one who is described as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one who reigns and rules and subdues, the one who preserves his people and who gets them all the way into glory. And again, his name is what? Jesus. And in truth, not only does the unbeliever need him, but we all need him. So Vista Baptist Church, I impart this to you this morning. And it is a very simple thing. Get wisdom. Procure wisdom. Impart wisdom. Share wisdom. Know the one who is wisdom. Honor him all of your days. Trust in him. And he will lead you to life, life eternal. Let's pray. Oh Father, we pray that you would help each one of us to get wisdom, to procure him, to know your Son Jesus, to worship him, and to follow him all of our days. And I pray for those of us who have wisdom that we would impart it to all those who you have put under our care. If we are parents, help us to impart him to our children. If we are in positions of leadership like teachers or preachers or whatever position of authority I have, help us to impart it to those whom you have put under our charge. Oh God, help us to know and to get and to impart your Son Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. As you are able.